In the name of the one and living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is on this feast of the Most Holy Trinity, when we have a tendency to want to explain and understand what we cannot. What is, yes, a foundational doctrine of the Christian faith, yet also a profound mystery. So once again, we turn it to our children who give us perspective. At times like this, it is only our children who can nail it, even sometimes bringing us down to sides. And so I'm reminded of Sam, not his real name, who returned home from Sunday school to tell Mum what he and his friends had learned. "Mum, the teacher told us today that God is much bigger than we can imagine him to be, and God can use all of us in lots of different ways to do his work everywhere, because God is everywhere." And almost without taking a breath, he continued, "So I said, what is everywhere? And she said, yes, Sam, everywhere. God is everywhere." "So is God everywhere, Mum?" "Yes, of course he is," said Mum, peeling the potatoes. "You mean he's even in the cupboard?" "Yes," said Mum. "In the fridge, even when we close the door and the light goes out?" "Yes," said Mum. "Even in the sugar bowl," Sam persisted, as he took the lid off. "Yes," said Mum, now becoming quite impatient, trying to prepare the lunch. "Even in the sugar bowl, Sam." So Sam slammed down the lid and said, "Now I've got him." The problem for us is we want to understand with our heads when we can only understand with our hearts. The German Catholic theologian Karl Rainer was supposedly asked once by a priest friend how he should explain the Holy Trinity when preaching, and the reply came and was very simple: don't. The mystery we celebrate in today's feast defies not only explanation, but also comprehension. But before you think I have nothing to say and you're let off the hook, I want to share with you briefly just three things. First, we do not find the word, as I'm sure you know, Trinity, the word Trinity, in the Bible. Yet it is with so many prayers of the Church that an address to the Holy Trinity begins, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we are, of course, baptized with those words, in the name of the Holy Trinity, without which we cannot be baptized. Similarly, it is in the same great name that our sins are absolved, forgiven, wiped away clean. We bless ourselves with the sign of the cross, invoking the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And at this and every Eucharist, the priest blesses us at the end in the same great and holy name. And we conclude our prayers, particularly when praying the Psalms, glorifying the one God, saying, "Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Amen." So today invites us to live in an awareness of the presence of the triune God within us, who has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We acknowledge the mystery that there is one God who has three persons, co-equal and co-eternal, and sharing the same divine nature. God the Father, who in the beginning created the world and is forever our provider. God the Son, who, as John's Gospel put it, was the Word, is the Word, who was from the beginning and without whom nothing was made, and is the Redeemer. And the Holy Spirit, who was over the face of the waters at the time of creation, and is our comforter, teacher, and guide, who leads us into all truth, just as Jesus promised to his first disciples. Second, today's readings convey the truth that God reaches out to his people in love, seeking the deepest communion with them, from within the perfect communion of the Godhead itself, Creator, Redeemer, Giver of life. And St. Paul spells it out wonderfully in the reading from Romans, speaking of the pouring out of God's love into our hearts, saying, "And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And it is love and only love by which we were all made, and for what we are made. And within the triune God, provider, saviour, sanctifier, that we are sustained by unconditional, endless, vast love of our God. It is the promised gift of the Father, of which Jesus assures his first disciples, that comforts us today with God's love. It is that gift which supports us in the face of all suffering." I don't think Paul is suggesting that romanticizing of suffering, which the church and individual Christian believers has often most unhelpfully subscribed to. He's not doing that here. And when we consider just how beautiful yet fragile our human bodies are, it is no wonder that we suffer in this respect. Moreover, an online article drove home that point for me this week, where I learned we have 200 and any medics in the congregation, please feel free to correct me afterwards, but I learned we have 206 bones, 639 muscles, no wonder they trouble me, 4 million pain sensors in the skin, 16 million nerve cells, and 30 trillion cells in total. Mind-boggling. Which leads me to the human brain and the nervous system, which is the most, apparently, complex arrangement of matter anywhere in the whole universe. This does not simply point to why things go wrong within our bodies, but arguably, more supremely, just how remarkable they are, rightly to be treated, respected, and honored as temples of the Holy Spirit. The psalmist was spot on, wasn't he, when he said, "We are fearfully and wonderfully made, knit together in our mother's womb. And bang up to date, so was Bill Bryson in his book, A Short History of Nearly Everything, when he said, "It is a miracle that we even exist." If we cannot understand our human bodies, how can we possibly think we can understand God? And our suffering in all we have to face, and not least for the whole world and all its people, with its suffering escalating daily at frightening and dangerous proportions, it is because of the love of God that we still have the possibility for the presence of hope for all those of us who believe. Yes, a hope which can feel far distant, hard to hold on to, but which in the end never disappoints because of God's immense, unconditional, unending love, which goes beyond our understanding. Thirdly and finally, if we are to leave church today not just acknowledging this mystery and wonder of God, not just acknowledging that it's not in our heads but in our hearts, too great to comprehend, but with something which can be infused into our daily lives and our daily living and discipleship, I would urge us all, you and I included, to do just two simple things. To embrace afresh the awareness of God as the source of our strength and courage, and let go of the wayward idea that we can do it alone, that we can do it all by ourselves. Our awareness and conviction of the presence of God within us gives us the strength to face the manifold problems of life with Christian courage, because to quote the psalmist elsewhere, the Lord of hosts is with us and the God of Jacob is our stronghold. And then to remember that just as God is God, only in a Trinitarian relationship, so can we be fully human only as one member of a relationship of three partners. The self needs to adopt a horizontal relationship with all humanity and with all people, in a vertical relationship with God. In that way, our life and our way of life is Trinitarian, just like that of God himself. Today, so often, the so-called I and I principle of individualism and the resulting consumerism is that which is followed. But the doctrine of the most blessed and holy undivided Trinity challenges us to distinctly adopt an I and God and neighbour principle. Because when all is said and done, I am only a Christian in as far as I live in a relationship of God, in a relationship of love with God and other people. Let me say that again. I am only a Christian insofar as I live in a relationship of love with God and other people. Let us pray. How great a being, Lord, is thine, which doth all beings keep. Thy knowledge is the only lines that are to sound so fast a deep. Thou art a sea without a shore, a sun without a sphere. Thy time is now and evermore. Thy place is everywhere. Amen.